Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here this Monday night. Brad Rifkin has joined us from Las Vegas, Nevada tonight. He is the producer of a documentary called The Life and Times of Joe Paterno. It is a documentary that, according to Mr. Rifkin, takes a dry-eyed and a clear-eyed and a objective view of the life and the times of Joe Paterno, but is respectful and does not involve itself in any of these salacious, nasty, you know, tabloidy things. We have Brad on the line with us here from Las Vegas. I want to remind you we're online every night at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. So every one of our shows is online as a video cast. We're on right now on Phil TV in HD, high definition video for you. Go on over to philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass. You have access not only to our video cast, but thousands and thousands, and I do mean thousands of hours of full shows going back 13, 14 years, clips, all kinds of stuff there at philhendryshow.com. All right, Mr. Rifkin, we're going to continue here.
And I wanted to say to your audience.
All right, I'll let you say what you wanted to say. I just want to let you know that we're going to continue our discussion here, and we're going to continue our conversation, and it's not because I want to beat you up.
And to that point, Phil, I wanted to say that I heard you, maybe you didn't mean for me to hear you, but I heard you say to one of the your staff or someone that you wanted to keep me on the air until you got out of me what you wanted to get out of me, and I took that as a challenge. And
well, maybe that's the journalist in me. I don't know what it is.
Well, you were saying that you were talking about a friend of yours who's a stand-up comedian who doesn't leave the stage until he owns the audience, and I don't like the idea of being used, you know, to as a prop so that you're, the radio ratings.
Sir, you know, that's not what it is. It's getting out of you answers to questions that you've yet answered. And I think if you were objective, truly objective, as you say you are, and you were taking a dry-eyed look at this, as you say you did with the Life and Times of Joe Paterno, you would see that we've had a very difficult time getting you to answer questions.
If you would want to ask me a question, I'd be happy to answer it.
And you know that you've been saying that for a solid hour.
I have been saying that for a solid hour when it comes to questions that are nothing more, as I said, nothing more than going through. It's like somebody wanting to go through a woman's dirty napkins, you know. It's just,
oh, come on. It has nothing whatsoever to do with that. Why do you make this out to be something so filthy and nasty and private that there's no way I can ask a simple question such as, you know, what did Coach Paterno say to Sandusky, or did he?
You know, I'll answer that question for you. Did Sandusky already answer that question?
Sandusky answered that question, and I don't believe him.
Well, then, if you don't believe Sandusky, then you must think that the truth is that Coach Paterno did say something.
I suspect that it is. I'd like your opinion, since you did this dry-eyed and
well, you see, you're being sarcastic now, so now I don't want to answer.
How am I being sarcastic?
When you said I'm dry-eyed, and there was an inference that you think that I'm full of crap, now I don't feel like answering.
I think you're just coming up with excuses not to answer it. I don't think you know.
No, Mr. Henry, that kind of reverse psychology doesn't work on me.
No, it's not reverse psychology. I don't think you know.
Again, I'm not going to fall for that.
877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let me go to a phone call here. We have people who would like to ask questions of you. Here is Sean on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Sean. You're on with Brad Rifkin.
Thank you, sir. Brad, I really just have one question. I mean, I understand you're trying to keep the legacy of Joe Paterno above reproach, but the fact remains that he was fired. Do you know what the official reason Penn State gave for firing Joe Paterno? Because it obviously wasn't performance based. He had a good year this year, but he was fired. There is a beginning and an end. What was the end for him?
Well, but the way you put that is you've almost answered your question. You want to say he was fired for little boy, you know, for fooling with little boys, don't you?
No,
he was not. I understand. Well, if anybody who should have been fired, it should have been McCready. McCready was the guy that actually witnessed the whole event.
I don't know who he
is. And Jerry Sandusky wouldn't have made it out of that shower with that little boy if I had seen that. You don't know what is that supposed
to mean? What is that supposed to mean? You would have joined in?
No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means he would have done something physical to Sandusky.
Well, he left it open. I didn't know what the man meant.
You know something? You're willing to infer every kind of negative thing about everybody else, including my caller right now, but you don't want to answer the simplest question, which is this. What, you know, he was fired. He was let go. He was dismissed. He was forced to resign. Put it any way you want, in any way you want, in any form that you want. Why is Joe Paterno no longer the coach at Penn State?
He's no longer the coach at Penn State because he resigned.
Okay, well, you know as well as I do, the resignation was, he was asked to resign.
I don't know that at all.
I don't think that, you know what, I'm not going to watch your documentary.
All right, see, this is what I mean, Mr. Henry. If I don't do what you people in the media want me to do, you want to badmouth my work.
You're not answering any questions. He resigned, yes. Well, he was forced to resign. I don't know that. If you are a reporter...
Yeah, see the sarcasm? See what you did there? You went, I don't know that. Even your caller can hear it, can't you, sir?
Yes, I'm still online.
Yeah, but you heard Mr. Henry being sarcastic. He goes, I don't know that. You heard what he said. I'm trying to get the truth out for once. Get the truth out.
What truth are you trying to get out every time we ask a question? This guy asked a question. I'm going to ask it again. Did Joe Paterno resign?
Yes.
Why?
He said he was going to resign at the end of the year.
Then why didn't he resign at the end of the year?
Because he resigned when he did, Mr. Henry. Yes, of course, there are other answers to that question, but you guys, again, you're starting every time we try to elevate this conversation, you guys want to take a peek in the bathroom again. You walk by that bathroom door, and you can't just keep walking. You and this gentleman, Sean, I guess is his name, you guys don't want to go by the bathroom without you don't want to go by the bathroom without pushing the door open and taking a look inside.
Well, the bottom line is this, Brad. The bathroom door is wide open, and it ended Paterno's career. So
there
I
you
mean,
go.
Good Lord. I mean, if you don't address that in your documentary, I assume probably no one will watch it. Although he was a great coach, and I understand he was a great man, but things like this happening on your watch, somebody is going to hold the whole ball of wax for this deal, and it had to be him. So,
absolutely, absolutely. And yeah. Our look is very objective at Joe Paterno. What did he know and when did he know it?
All right, do you want to answer those questions here? Because I'm not going to watch your documentary, and I will not recommend it to my audience unless you do.
And I think that is about as low as it gets, Mr. Henry.
No, it's not. No, that's a standard in media. I would not recommend your movie to my audience until you start coming up with... This is not some commercial you're doing. This is not an infomercial.
Joe Paterno, at 11 o'clock at night, heard a knock on his door. He went to the door. There was an assistant coach, some slob that they sent over with a phone number, and the guy stuck this note in Coach Paterno's hand with a phone number. Coach Paterno and his lovely wife of many years, I don't know what her name is, Susie or... Well, you know something, Mr. Henry.
Boy, his lovely wife of many years, Susie.
Her name is... What's her name? Jerry. Get Jerry in here, will you? I don't care what he's doing. Get him in here or I'll fire him. Whatever her name is.
That's so cool, man. You're doing a documentary.
His wife, can I continue?
Go ahead.
He took the phone number, and he and his wife, getting ready for bed, in their pajamas, called a phone number at 11 o'clock. They didn't call him. They said to him, Paterno, you call this number. Coach Paterno called a number, and the voice, the cold, distant, mechanical, almost dead voice on the other end of the line, told him he was fired. Almost like that voice in 2001, A Space Odyssey, that Dave voice, you're fired. It could have been a machine that was firing him.
So that's why. How it happened then, Brad. Well, you actually answered my question then.
Well, wait. No, hold on. Hold on. We know what happened. He got fired. Do we know why?
I will not. There you go wanting to muck around.
Okay, never mind. Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you, sir, for your call.
Yes,
our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm going to go over to Alan on the Phil Henry Show. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rifkin.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I, in order for me to break into this a little bit more, I would like, if you can, define what you mean by dry-eyed and clear-eyed documentary on Joe Paterno. If you could do that.
Well, I mean, meaning we are objective. We do not turn away from any truth, no matter how ugly, no matter how disgusting. We don't close our eyes to anything, and we put it and we report on it. And it was funny, I used the term mechanical voice that fired Joe Paterno. It's almost like that mechanical voice also produced our movie, because that's what we need, a mechanical, almost a machine, to have no emotion but look at the facts and have the machine tell the humans what to do.
Okay. Well,
Can I interrupt you for a minute? Mr. Henry, your sarcasm.
Mr. Rifkin, you have a weird way of putting things.
Yeah, but you go in. Okay.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir. Alan?
Myself, okay. See, because I don't know a whole lot of personal details about Joe Paterno.
Okay.
I'm an SEC fan, but I've always known about Joe Paterno from a surface level. But I'm concerned that if I even had any interest in, which I do, to get a documentary and understand, I'm concerned because, first of all, you talk about it being objective, and you've had callers that have called, and they've wanted to understand certain things that could be emotional, but yet they're asking from an objective point of view. And it also concerns me that little details like the name of his wife, which I think that if I did a documentary and I decided to go and be in front of the world stage, if you will, on Phil's show, that those things you would already understand and be able to answer immediately and quickly. This is just kind of awkward.
The movie's not about his wife.
But if his wife is an integral part of who Joe Paterno was. So for us to understand, listening to you talking about a documentary that you're promoting, those kind of details are very important. And then when questions are posed to you, you avoid them, no disrespect to you, because I'm really interested in knowing more about Joe Paterno. And I know that I'll get a lot of the dirt and the answers through the courts, which will come up.
You're right.
Because he did.
Sir, with all due respect, sir, you don't need to blow any smoke up my dress.
I'm just a respectful guy. That you've been saying you wanted respectful callers and you wanted this to be respectful. I've shown you no disrespect.
Right.
So there's no
blowing. I appreciate that.
And you talked about
it. But it feels like there's a little smoke going up my skirt.
Okay, Brad, you said that.
And for me to just come right out and say, your documentary is circumspect if you can't give us simple details about what it consists of, what about
I totally agree.
Which
I totally agree.
You don't want to talk about the end of it and how ugly it is, but then the great parts about it, about his wife, you can't even give her name. I mean,
I don't know Coach Paterno's wife's name.
Documentary on this man. Okay? So how
on him? I don't know.
You're not hearing, Brad. And listen, I will say this, Alan. Very good call. Outstanding questions. We have to break, but I'm going to follow up with what you were just saying, Alan. I appreciate your call. You don't understand that a man's wife is a part of his life, especially as long as they've been married. That Joe Paterno went home to this woman every night, that they talked every night, that she was a major, no question about it, a major influence on decisions that he made, the life that he lived, the values that he had. You could see, even at this point in their lives, how close they were, that she was coming outside with him,
I understand all of that, Mr. Henry. Believe me, I've been married.
Well, Brad, how long have you been? You've been married, what, twice?
I've been married. Boy, I tell you, you really want to stick it in, don't you?
How many times have you been married?
I've been married 4 times.
And for what was the longest?
I'm not going to answer that question. I'm simply going to say that...
Well, I think it's no more than 6 or 8 months, right?
I'm not answering that question. I'm simply going to say that Joe Paterno's wife's name... I know what his wife's name is. I'm not going to go dragging her name through the dung and the diaper hamper.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. A dry-eyed and a clear-eyed and a no-holds-barred objective view of the life of Joe Paterno, and we can't get any answers about anything from this man, including the name of Joe Paterno's wife. And any question we do ask is disrespectful. Wow. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jumping on me about that.
Well, we're not talking about Rand Paul.
Well, I'm just saying, Mr. Henry.
We're back. We're on the line here with Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising. Our number 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking about the Life and Times of Joe Paterno, a documentary that Mr. Rifkin has produced. We've attempted to ask you questions here concerning the film, and you've not really answered them.
I've tried my very best, Mr. Henry. While a lot of the questions are very salacious, I've tried my very best, and I think that, you know, I'll make a better effort at it. If I didn't answer anything, I apologize. I think I've tried my very best. I've tried my very, very best.
Well, if that's your best.
What are you, when you say that I'm not doing my best at answering these questions?
When a guy asks you, did Coach Paterno say anything to Coach Sandusky, and you are constantly saying your question's disrespectful, it looks like it's very salacious, it looks like you're mucking around in the diapers or whatever, and we never do get to an answer, I don't think you're doing your best.
I'm trying to clear through the refuse and trying to pick away all of the garbage that people are coding their questions in. That's all.
877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Maggie. Hi, Maggie. You're on with Brad Rifkin. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I don't have a question for him because I'm not going to waste my time because he's not going to answer it. But I do want to tell you. Excuse me?
I will answer your question, ma'am. Whatever you have to ask.
I've been listening, and you haven't answered anybody's question. You've whined and cried. That's all you've done.
Well, see, that's insulting. I didn't whine and
cry. If you don't want to be insulted, then don't be like that. Answer their questions like you said you would. But I'll tell you
this. When did I whine and...
If the coach knew that this happened and he went to the board and they didn't do anything, he should have went over their head. Okay? Because if not, he's just as dirty as the man that done it. And you are saying, oh, just walk by the bathroom, don't look in. Guess what? That makes you just as dirty as them. Because that's saying, oh, I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't want to get anything.
Now, hold on.
You got to watch your language there, Maggie.
Okay.
I want to.
That's okay.
I want to just say this, Maggie. If you're the kind of woman that walks by an unlocked bathroom door and you just walk in for your kicks, there's something wrong with you. I don't think you are, but that's what you're making it sound like.
Let me tell you something. There is nothing wrong with me. There's obviously something wrong with you. You're saying that if he saw it, he should just keep on walking? Hello? No, he shouldn't either.
No.
He should have done something. That he
What's he supposed to do? What's he supposed to do?
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
He's the head coach of a football... Wait, I want to ask a question here.
Let me tell you something. If his career was more important than that little boy, his whole life.
No,
he
ruined
that boy's whole life, okay?
His career was secondary to that little boy's life. I'm saying if it was me, I don't know. I can't. None of us can say what's in the heart and in the mind of our fellow man. But if it was me, the first thing I'd be thinking of is, that's disgusting. That is disgusting. I'd be turned off.
Okay, and then what would you do?
Well, I'm not doing it. It's another guy that's doing it.
No, you said if it was you. So what would you do?
If I knew that that guy was doing that, if I knew that guy was doing that, I would want to vomit. I would want to vomit. I'd never be able to eat again.
Okay, so would you go tell somebody? And if that didn't work, would you go tell somebody else until you got...
Well, now you're getting into some, you know, now you're... Well, I mean, let's not be all that hasty.
What do you mean, let's not be that hasty?
So that makes you the piece of trash, just like you.
No, we've got to think about this.
No,
you've got to think about what your move's going to be.
I have two children, okay? A girl and a boy.
Are they yours? Are they yours?
My child.
Hold on for a minute, Maggie. We got to take a break. Hang on the line here. Hold on. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is ridiculous.
What?
If you knew something like that was going on, you'd vomit.
I wouldn't ever eat another meal again.
And then what would you do about it?
Well, now you're asking me a different thing. What am I going to do about it? You understand that I've got a career, too. I've got to think about my future.
Boy, you really stink. World Famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the World Famous Phil Henry Show.
You said that.
Yeah.
Phil Henry. This is the World Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the World Famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. In a moment, Robert Green from Fraser Foods is going to be joining us to talk about the Rand Paul detainment. Rand Paul's detainment in Nashville, Tennessee today as the result of him refusing a full body pat-down by the TSA. Our number 877-876-PHIL as we continue talking about this film, The Life and Times of Joe Paterno. We didn't finish up with Maggie. Go ahead, Maggie.
I think I heard him say that he would be looking out for his future after I quit talking. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying if
what
you
about
say
this
to
little
me...
Boy, what about this little boy's future? Do you not
it's
care?
It's very important.
Do you have kids?
Of course I do. Do I personally have kids? I have four ex-wives, all right? And
yeah,
I don't say that because I'm, well, you know.
Do you have kids?
Yes, I have kids.
How many?
She didn't ask me that.
Okay, in any event,
okay,
Maggie.
Okay, how many?
Well, see, again, you're asking a question because you want me to look like an idiot.
No, I have two kids. They're by the same man. Yeah, okay. But
okay, well, I don't have.
That's not even
it right there. I've got five by four different women.
Okay, you have five kids.
It doesn't matter. A child is a child. No matter who is the mother or father, it doesn't matter. You are supposed to protect the children. And apparently you wouldn't protect them. So
I would protect them. Yes, I'd protect them.
Around any kids. And I hope that your ex-wives are listening to this and do not let you have your children alone, because apparently you're not mentally stable.
You know, ma'am, you know, it's easy for you to say, but if the choice was between protecting that kid and burning down the Yosemite Forest, what would you do?
That damn
of course,
forest would go up in flames.
Are you insane?
No,
Wait a minute. What kind of a question?
Did you just, ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to hear on the Phil Henry Show, this lady would burn Yosemite Forest to the ground to save one child that's probably going to die anyway.
What do you mean is
you
probably going to die?
You are so stupid.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because the kid's premature.
You didn't say the kid was premature.
Yes, I did. I said, would you burn down Yosemite Forest to save one baby that was 3 months premature? And she said yes.
No, you did not.
You did not. You are such a lie. I tell you what,
if anybody watches
your documentary, they're going to be disappointed either way.
Well, I still want to go on the record. This lady would save a baby that's born. Okay, she didn't hear it, so she didn't hear it. But I said the kid was born with those dialithamide flippers.
Oh, okay, whatever.
You know, you're a lying scumbag. You're a lying.
A child.
Right. Yes. A child is a child, but I'm not going to set off World War III.
This piece of crap self would not put yourself up to save a kid.
I would say this.
Then you
if
know
I
what?
Found
you
out that Jerry Sandusky was doing that,
I would fire him.
I'd fire him, and I'd be really disgusted.
What would you do to protect the kid?
What can I do? What can one man do?
You go to the cops, man.
Paterno could have went above, and he wouldn't have lost his job. It wouldn't have been his future. He would have been a
hero. Well, I think he did. I think we need to be clear. He did go. What the criticism?
Didn't do anything,
because he went to a couple of criminal. He went to a couple of men who committed a crime.
What men committed a crime?
The two guys that Paterno went to did not report it to the police.
Well, you're going out on a limb saying they could sue you.
They got arrested. You know, what the hell are you talking about?
He
got arrested.
Paterno should have kept going above until he got to the bottom of it and something was done about it, okay? You know what? They should take every one of these child molesters and take them out in the middle of town once a month, hang them from a damn tree, and kick a bucket out from underneath them. I'd gladly go do it. And if you wouldn't,
what do you think?
You're
what do you think this is a
John
anyway.
Movie?
You know, lady,
what?
if you ran things, we'd have a return to the Nazis. Thank you.
We would have a whole lot better world.
I didn't hear you. What?
It would be a whole lot better world because there wouldn't be a bunch of child molesters out here.
I can't hear you because I'm as far away from the phone as I can get. I don't want the germs.
What a child. All right, thank you very much, Maggie.
Yes, he's very childish.
No, I'm not. I don't want to be near the first lady. I can smell your breath.
You know something? Thank you very much, Maggie. Mr. Rifkin.
Yeah?
Get on the phone, please, or I'm going to hang up on you.
Yeah.
You know something, pal? You wanted to come on my show and talk about your movie. I didn't call you up and bug you.
I'm just telling you that the questions that I've been asked have been all formulated to make me, Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky, and any and all supporters of Penn State football look like moral reprobates. And
well, you've said some pretty stupid things here. What can one man do? What would I be able to do? I wouldn't stop throwing up. You wouldn't do anything to help those kids, and I find that to be reprehensible. I thank you very much, sir, for being on our program, and I hope that we have occasion to speak again.
My question was this.
Do you get any kind of a what?
Is there not a prize or a consolation prize or something?
What are you talking about?
My question is, Mr. Henry, and I hate to do this on the air, do I not get something?
Why do you think you get something? I don't understand.
Because you started, thank you for being on the show, and I thought you were going to say, and for being on our show, you get, you know.
No, this isn't a game show. Get out of here.
I thought I got a new suit.
Don't you give the guy a prize?
No, I don't. What do you mean a prize? Yeah, for being on the Phil Henry Show. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, man, I used to tell all of them shows.
For being on the Phil Henry Show, you get the home version of the Phil Henry Show. That's what we ought to do.
What?
We're going to come out with the home version of the Phil Henry Show. Huh? Do you love it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you mean.
Are you kidding me? First of all, you get a little plastic microphone. And then you have all these little playing cards, and they're all, like, one of them's Bud, and one of them's you, and there's all the characters. And, you know, the little microphone, you move it along, you know.
Like life or something. Yeah, like Monopoly.
Yeah, we can make it like Monopoly, and it's the home version of the Phil Henry Show. You can stop off at the Western States Homeowners Association. You can go and get, you know, to the Santa Monica Airport and get drunk with Art Griego. Yeah, it'll be beautiful, man. It'll be beautiful, like we'll ever do it, you know?
Yeah, but you can. That's the bitchiest idea that I ever heard.
Do you know what it takes to get a game? You know, let me tell you something. I wouldn't mind doing it, but do you know what it takes to get a game, to get a board game, to get anything patented?
Well, what do you mean patent?
You got to get a patent. You have to go to the United States Patent Office and patent your idea and say, this is my idea, this is for this game, and this is what I want to do. And the first thing you have to do is they say, okay, that's really nice. Now we want a prototype.
What's that?
A prototype is an actual example, a physical example of the game. So you have to make the game. And you have to make it down to its absolute specifications. How big is the board? What kind of pieces? What colors? What are the rules? You know, everything. You know, what does the board look like? You know, how big are the little squares that the characters jump along, and so on and so forth. And it is it's quite exhaustive. You have to have a patent attorney who then takes this thing that you made, your little game, and he goes to Washington or whatever. They go through the channels to Washington, and they get you your patent. And once you have your patent, then you could begin. Then and only then should you begin to, you know. Find a company that will make this.
Yeah, you can get that game company, that guy Milton.
Yeah, what's the name of that game of Milton?
Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
Milton Bradley's got a million board games, man. Why would they be interested? You got to go with a company that's really hungry to take a chunk out of the Milton Bradley Hasbro monster. You know, I don't know who the big toy makers are.
Well, they got Milton Bradley. They got, what about Toys R Us?
That's a store. That's not the, what the hell are the toy makers? Hasbro was the biggie, you know.
Yeah, they got Hasbro. They got the guys that make the train and everything.
The what?
They got to make the, what about that Schwartz?
Oh, that Schwartz company is a, that's another toy company. Or, excuse me, a toy store. That's, in New York, they've got a bunch. I saw one up on Broadway, I think, or something. GAQ, is that the name of it? Schwartz? But that's a toy store. What's it called, Dan? FAO Schwartz. Yeah, very big. And they're in a variety of cities around the country. But those are stores, man. Those are not toy manufacturers. Now, you got to go with the big toy manufacturers. And there's a and toy manufacturing, just like the making of chocolate at Halloween and at Valentine's Day, and at Easter, is a bloodbath. It's a blood war, man. I mean, they go back and forth.
Now, you talking about how Hershey Squirt and everything?
Yeah.
Hershey Squirt?
Not Hershey Squirt, but...
I was talking to you guys about the Mars Company and Hershey. Yeah, they go, oh, God, they hate each other's guts. They hate each other's guts. Mars and the Hershey Company. Now, I say they hate each other's guts. They hated each other's guts for decades. Maybe they've cooled it out. It all started when one of the Hershey boys went and married a daughter of Mars.
What?
I'm not talking about Roman gods now, bud, okay?
Oh, thank God.
Well, what is it with you, man? Are you high?
No.
He's all like, wow, a daughter of Mars. I'm talking about a real guy named Mars. And he married one of the Mars daughters, and he went to work for Mars. And that, oh, baby, that started a bad scene, because Hershey, man, old man Hershey, he never forgave that kid. He squirted a lot of tears. All right.
I bet you he did.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, quit it. So anyway, that was a board game, the Phil Henry Show. So maybe we'll come up with a consolation prize like that. We'll be right back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We do have Bob Green coming up to talk with us about the Rand Paul detainment. And we thank each and every one of you for being with us tonight. It's so sweet to be back here on the radio. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me get over to Robert Green from Fraser Foods, who's going to give us the latest on the Rand Paul story. As I understand it, Bob, it took place in Nashville, Tennessee. Rand Paul is a congressman from Kentucky, and he refused a security pat-down at the Nashville airport. Is all of that substantially correct?
Most of it is absolutely the facts of the case. Rand Paul, as you know, is a congressman from Kentucky who has been very vocal against the TSA, against what he sees as the encroaching influence of the federal government in national security and in local security. Now, Rand Paul was boarding a plane today. And he was blocked by the TSA officials in Nashville after refusing a full-body pat-down. According to Moira Bagley, who was on his staff, she said she spoke with him, and he had been detained indefinitely. Now, the image scan went off, and he refused the pat-down. Now, Ron Paul, who is the father of Rand Paul, was on Twitter, and he said that there had been, quote, an anomaly with the body scanner. He said that my son, Rand Paul, is being detained by the TSA for refusing full-body pat-down after an anomaly in the body scanner in Nashville. For more details are coming, he said, or more details are coming. So really, that's all we have, Bill, that Rand Paul, the son of Ron Paul, refused to submit to a pat-down when the body scanner went off.
Now, when the body scanner goes, and by the way, Bob, we thank you for this report because Robert was in Nashville himself. And are you coming home now?
Yeah, Bill, we're returning home from LAX right now.
So you were there when this was happening?
We're a little bit behind the congressman in line. I was taking a flight to Los Angeles. I guess he was going back to Kentucky, but we were going through the first class screening, and I saw this situation.
Now, the body scanner going off, the body scanner going off. What does that mean?
Well, it means that obviously something, either a car keys or some metal object of some kind, or triggered the body scanner. And so they decided that, and that is a standard operating procedure. Once that scanner goes off, they'll do a wand check, which is one of those wands that they'll pass over your body. And now, because of recent threats, they decide that they'll go to the pat down.
And he refused that.
That is correct.
Now, you've got experience traveling quite a bit yourself. And I know that you've commented to me before that this is such a royal pain when people are refusing pat-downs, but I heard that it wasn't happening that much anymore.
No, it really doesn't. There was a time when the Tea Party had a little bit of sway in this, and they would get people to refuse pat-downs because they thought it was invasive, and they thought it was an example of a police state run amok or whatever they were saying. That's what Ron Paul was saying. But really, I think that the impetus behind the protests about pat-downs is a lot more childish. I don't think these people are comfortable with, for whatever reason, they're just not comfortable with the pat-down. They think it has some sort of quasi-sexual meaning, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. And I think Rand Paul himself ought to be ashamed of himself, reading into the pat-down something like that.
Why do you think, you're not saying that Rand Paul thinks that they're trying to get fresh with him?
No, I think that what Rand Paul is doing, though, is he sends the message that he thinks the TSA thinks he's so good-looking or something that they're going to want to stick their hands all over him. And I think it's a childish, I'm just telling you right now, I think it's childish, I think it's insulting to the TSA. I can assure you, I'm sure Rand Paul is a great congressman, I'm sure he represents its people very well, and I'm sure that people respect him, but, that's about as far as it goes. He's not a very good-looking guy, if I may say that, and, I just think he must think that he's the most handsome thing on earth, that he doesn't want to submit to a pat-down, because he thinks some guy with a TSA is going to put his hands on him. I think it's an insult to the TSA workers. And I think Rand Paul needs to, just sort of get over himself a little bit, as they say.
Talking with Robert Green, who was in Nashville today when Rand Paul refused. You were in the security line.
That is correct.
And so you saw Congressman Paul going through the body scanner. As we all do, and every time I step in front of that thing, I feel like just so sheepish.
Well, I think we all do, Phil. I mean, I don't think I certainly don't think I sport the most handsome physique, and I think you can't help but think what a sorry sight I must present to these TSA workers, and I think that Rand Paul needs to understand that he went through that body scanner, so they already got a good look at him, and it probably wasn't all that pleasant. And now, because the scanner has gone off, now they're going to have to pat him down, and he thinks that is an invasion of his rights. I'm here to tell you that I think more it's an invasion of the rights of the Transportation and Security Administration worker to have to pat down a guy like Rand Paul or anybody else, for that matter, but especially a guy like Rand Paul who thinks he's some kind of a GQ bottle.
Robert Green on the line with us from Los Angeles, coming back from LAX after having been in Nashville this afternoon. These comments that you're making, I know, are opinion, and I know that they're influenced by your political point of view, that Rand Paul is a little bit on the renegade side when he refuses to submit to a pat-down. But seriously, or are you being serious, the Tea Party, I thought, said that they just find that pat-down to be an overly intrusive, a step beyond the normal rights of a police officer. And you're saying, you know, it's more than that. They think they're being sexually harassed?
I think when you get to a guy like a Rand Paul who's got an ego that's about that size, yeah, I think they begin to think that it's sexual harassment and that they're so gorgeous that a TSA worker just can't wait to put their hands on them.
All right, Robert Green with us. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with our News and Information Hour coming up next here on the Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.